Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. So today's show initially was not going to be a live show. It was going to be a pre-recorded interview. And the person I was going to interview, lots of things happened. And so we have pushed that off to January. But I had hoped and I'd felt, I'll be honest with you, kind of proud of myself that I'd figured out how to get a pre-recorded interview done for this week, because I did not really want to do a live show because I have just recently had cataract surgery. And thanks to all of you who are thinking to yourself, doesn't she seem a little young to be having cataract surgery? Not that much, no. But thanks for thinking it anyway. So I had it on Monday, and I thought it would be weird to have one eye that's got vision like I haven't had since I was about 8 years old, and the other eye is my same really limited capacity. I could be wearing my glasses. This is fun. So I had to take the lens out of the right side, and they're still wonky on my face. And okay, so I thought it was going to be weird, and it is. But I really decided that it was better to do this show live because I didn't want to do another encore show, which I'd done last week because of the holiday. And then I decided, why not? It's December. Let's just take advantage. Let's just lean in to the fact that it's December. I've had eye surgery, and I can call a show 2020 hindsight. So today we're going to be talking about the year in review. What's the value in terms of a mindfulness practice of taking a look back? What are the risks? Because I think there are some risks sometimes when we look back. But what can we do, and how can that be helpful to us in our mindfulness journey? So before I go any further, I want to mention that the shirt I'm wearing is an homage to my friend Craig. He knows what I'm talking about, as does anyone who knows Craig. That a dark blue plaid shirt with rolled up sleeves, that's Craig all over. So, you know, the purpose of the show is for you, actually, as you're listening to the show itself, whether you're listening to it live on Facebook or listening to downloaded it somewhere, to create a mindfulness opportunity right here and now for yourself, to give yourself some space, to bring your full attention to the moment, to relax into this moment, and to find places in your own life that resonate with the topics that we're talking about on the show today, and maybe even start to do some of the things that I mentioned as strategies for mindfulness practices. You know, the topics are intended to help people in their journey towards greater mindfulness, and mindfulness is the bringing our full attention to the present moment without judgment. And we do that for us. It sounds very simple, but as I say in the intro, it can be very difficult to do. And as a client said to me this week, it's actually a very ambitious goal. And it is. And that's why with this show, I try to create an opportunity for thinking about this at the micro level. What are some very small ways in which I can enhance my mindfulness? And I do it because when I am in a place of mindfulness, I have greater internal peace. And when I feel more at peace inside, regardless of what's going on in the world around me, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I believe that regardless of our circumstances, we can find inner peace. And when we do that, we bring more peace into the world. And given the state of our world, any one of us who can bring more peace into that world is doing something positive and is helping in the greater, bigger picture. So we're going to talk about the year in review. We're going to talk about it using, and I'm going to just squeeze the life out of this metaphor about vision. But let's start by breathing. We bring our attention to our breath because it enhances clarity. It allows us to feel more calm, and it allows us to kind of center our attention. So we're going to do a breathing exercise we've done for the last few weeks, we're going to do it three times. And here's how it goes. We bring our hands to our heart center, palms together on an inhale. We interlace our fingers and straighten our arms, palms out as we exhale. We bring our hands above our head on an inhale And then we bring our hands back down to our side on the exhale. So if you'll join me, round number one, bring our hands to heart center. Two. And three. Thanks for joining me in that. So, if you know me or if you've seen the show before, you know I'm a person who wears glasses. And I am, in fact, the kind of person who's worn glasses since the age of 10. I put on my glasses before my feet hit the floor in the morning. I get into bed, I turn off the light, and then I take my glasses off and put them on the bedside table. So to stand before you today without wearing glasses is strange, to say the very least. To see out my front window, we bought this house and my partner, I thought it had a beautiful view, but it turns out I can see a lot more of what's happening on the bay. There aren't just shapes and colors, but there are boats and a port that's very busy. And I knew it was there, but I didn't see it with very much clarity. I can glance at the clock across the room and I realize I'm not squinting when I see it. I got that song, of course, stuck in my head, you know, that Johnny Nash song. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, bright sunshiny day. You're so lucky I didn't choose to sing that. But my verse is a little bit different and it doesn't rhyme as well. I can see clearly now the astigmatism is gone. Even my distance vision has been restored. And gone are the dark clouds caused by the cataract. My eyes are so dilated, at least they were that first day, that despite the clouds in the Pacific Northwest, every day was very, very bright and sunshiny. I am really startled by how different my vision is with this post-surgery, because I didn't just have cataracts. I had an astigmatism that's being compensated for with the lens. And I also had terrible vision, both nearsighted and terribly nearsighted. So when the next surgery is on Monday, and I'll have eventually have reading glasses, but that's the only time I'll need glasses, and I'll be able to drive without glasses. I have never in my life driven without glasses. So I am seeing the world very differently. Of course, I can't stop talking about it with my partner because I see things in the house, et cetera, out the window. And she said to me the other day, she said, I had no idea how impaired your vision was. And I said, I didn't either. I mean, curtailed some of my activities in terms of driving at night and that sort of thing, sitting closer to the TV, not being able to watch things with subtitles. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know quite how bad until it started to get fixed. So very grateful, just incredibly filled with gratitude. But it's also put me, of course, in this mindset, because it's December, of saying, you know, what does it mean to see more clearly? And I think that is, of course, part of the mindfulness project, is to see the world more clearly. And of course, I don't mean that in a literal sense, because it is about insight. It is not about our literal vision. It is about insight into our own minds. It's about increasing our self-knowledge. It's about insight into the world around us. And it is about seeing the world around us as it is, rather than as we would like it to be. So that's what our topic is today, seeing the world more clearly, seeing ourselves more clearly. And so one of the ways in which I think we ought to talk about that is really around the question of self-knowledge. And what I've noticed as I've been thinking about the year in review is, am I seeing both the good and the bad? When I came home from the doctor's office on Monday after I had my cataract surgery, and you know, that's also, the technology is so incredible now that it was really not very long. I could see immediately, wasn't perfect immediately, but it was good. I called to my partner because I'd been in the bathroom, and I said, these rugs that we've had for 6 years and bought for a different bathroom in a different house, I thought the main color was olive green. And it's clearly, I don't know, closer to chartreuse. Now, it turns out it's not quite that bright. It was the dilation and the incredible flood of light in my eyes all day. But I was really startled by the difference in the rug color. And I was talking to the optometrist the next day at a follow-up appointment. And he said, I told him that story. And he said, and have you noticed the grout in the bathtub is disgusting? And I said, well, yes, I'm ashamed to say that I have. I can see the world more clearly now. And one of the things I see is that not everything's the way I thought it was. And I'm still kind of a crappy housekeeper in certain places, right? So as we think about the year in review, are we seeing both the good and the bad? We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, I want to talk about what would it take, what would it look like to do something like an inventory of your year for the purpose of self-knowledge, for the purpose of having a deeper understanding of your habits of mind. So you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. This is Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and I'll see you after the break. Mindfulness, staying present to the moment without judgment. It sounds simple, but we know on a bad day it's tough to achieve. So here's a 2-minute drill you can use to enhance your capacity for mindfulness. Find an activity you do every day, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and while you're doing it, focus on nothing else. Not your to-do list, not worries about the past, not rehearsing conversations, just the physical sensation of engaging in that activity. As we enhance our capacity for mindfulness in these ordinary activities, we're better able when the going gets rough to bring that capacity to bear, to be calm and authentic in those moments. If you'd like to learn more about how to enhance mindfulness in your life, contact me at mcguirelifecoach.com and listen to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, Thursdays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
On a tough day, our first impulse is to check out. But here's a better idea. Check in. Check in with yourself in two specific ways. First, check in with your body. Are your hands balled into fists? Is your jaw clenched? Notice any place you feel tension in your body and consciously relax. Then check in with your mind. Are you fully present to the people and activities in your immediate environment? Or is your mind a million miles away, worrying about the future, brooding about the past? If that's the case, gently bring your awareness back to the present moment. When we check in with ourselves, we can create more peace in ourselves and in our world. If you'd like to learn more about incorporating mindfulness practices into your daily life, contact me, Mary Angela McGuire, at mcguirelifecoach.com. And check out my show, Nothing But Now, Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and today we are doing a review of the year. We're looking back. I'm looking with 20/25 vision in my right eye, and I don't even know what it is on my left eye, but it's bad. There's no really good explanation of quite how impaired my vision is in my left eye. But recently I had the cataract surgery, and my eyesight in my right eye is completely transformed, and I'm just thinking it's an awful lot like bringing a very high level, a deep appreciation for mindfulness practices into my daily life in terms of the way that it transforms how I see myself and how I see myself in the world. So this show today is really about asking you to think about a year in review. And as I said at the beginning, you know, there are risks in that. I think the risk sometimes of looking back is, of course, of getting stuck in the past, of getting trapped in stories, particularly stories about fear, anxiety, uncertainty. And of course, this is a year that has been absolutely filled for many of us, for maybe who hasn't really been affected in some way by the events of in the world around us, and that they have caused uncertainty, fear, anxiety. So we don't want to get trapped in those feelings. At the same time, I think a little review provides an opportunity for both noticing some things and noticing how we notice, and what we notice. So I really encourage you to do what I've been doing, which is write it down. Take a kind of inventory of the year. And again, it's not for the purposes of getting, and want to be cautious about getting stuck in some of those stories. It's also not for the purpose of second guessing decisions that you've made. That's for some people, that's a habit of mind that's been very difficult to address. So I will caution you about those kinds of things as you make a kind of inventory. But really the purpose is to learn more about yourself, to look back over the year and notice as much as possible. What was your year like? What was different this year? And in some level of detail. Part of it is about the question of noticing what you notice. You know, make a list of 10 or 20 items and then look back at that list and ask yourself, do I only notice the bad things? Am I really focused on places where I think I've made mistakes or I've come up short or things the world hasn't been very much not to my liking or things have been bad and troubling and unhappy? Or am I an optimist and all I see are the good things? You know, neither answer is right or wrong because neither answer is right or wrong. They're both right and wrong because both happen. We do have difficult things happen in our life. We do have good things happen in our life. The question is, are you in a place where you have a habit of mind of really only seeing one or the other? So it's taking this inventory to start to put some reality to your situation, to give yourself credit where you have been resilient, where you have been resourceful, where you have been creative, and also to allow yourself to acknowledge places where you have struggled, where you have been lonely or bored or fearful, filled with anxiety or frustrated by your circumstances and the circumstances in the world around you. You know, this is part of Tara Brach's whole process of RAIN, and that first thing is recognizing how we have felt in this past year. Acknowledging those feelings, acknowledging all of those places, good, bad, and all of the ones in between. Another thing you might notice that I'd encourage you to notice as you look at that inventory of things, you know, we're always trying to talk, or I'm always talking about trying to loosen the grip that our habits of mind have on us so that we are in a situation and we're not super reactive because we can notice where our mind is going in particular kinds of situations, create some space, and allow ourselves to be more responsive than reactive. So as you look over that list of things that have been happening in your life in the last year, can you also notice places where you bring an old story, a preconception, an expectation to situations, and how that story, preconception, expectation shapes what follows? Right? How is it that the energy we bring into a situation then creates some of the circumstances and the ways that a situation goes? This isn't about self-blame. This isn't about another opportunity to criticize yourself. It's just a place to start to notice habits of mind. A second thing I've been thinking about in terms of looking back over the year and seeing clearly is that it means to me seeing all of the places where we're interconnected. And that is, I think, stood out to me this year because so many of the places where we're routinely connected to other people, we have not been. So many of us have had a lot more isolation in our lives. We have had far fewer kind of normal, ordinary, routine conversations and interactions with other people, people close to us, strangers, all those people in between, because of the pandemic. So I was thinking about this question of interconnection the other day. I was in Trader Joe's, and they'd asked us not to bring in reusable bags because of the pandemic. And so I was expecting to get a Trader Joe's paper bag, which I kind of love for recycling. And as we got to the cash register, it was clear that they were using plastic bags, and kind of surprised. So I said to the cashier, is Trader Joe's switching to plastic bags? And she said, no, it's not that. We hope to go back to paper bags, but our paper bags are made from recycled materials. And the recycled materials, the person who manufactures our paper bags gets the recycled materials from schools. And because so many schools aren't in session, they aren't generating as much paper as they used to. And so their manufacturer can't make the bags and we're switching to plastic. And we just looked at each other and I said, what are all of the things that we are learning through this situation about the complexity of our lives and the way things are interconnected? I was just stunned by that. When would I have ever imagined that the kind of bag a grocery store uses has anything to do with the world being in the midst of reacting to a pandemic? That would not have occurred to me. But that is how interconnected our world is and how interconnected various parts of our world are. And so that is something that I think is worth really thinking about, as many of us have been in isolation, a lot more isolation, fewer routine interactions with other people. But what are the ways that we see all of these interconnections? And what are we learning about ourselves in that context? What are you noticing as you look back at the year and how you've spent the year, whether you've spent it working from home, teaching your children at home, all of the various ways of dealing with the circumstances in which we find ourselves? Maybe there are negatives, certainly, and there's incredible suffering that has happened, but there are also places where people have noticed, for instance, that maybe you can be more honest with yourself a little bit about how much time you need to yourself, right? Is that the kind of thing that you've taken for granted, the opportunity to have some quiet time, some space in your life, and now it's been taken away from you? And when things change again, what will you do to hold on to or restore that level of space that you need? I'm noticing friends talking to each other on places like Facebook of offering real empathy towards extroverts, that this has been an incredibly difficult time for extroverts. Is that you? What are you thinking about as you look back on the year? Has it brought a kind of loneliness that you're having a hard time dealing with? Or has it brought some space for reflection where you're asking yourself, well, what do I think about how I used to spend my time? Was it really driven by my nature? Put that word in quotation marks, of course, and how I want to live my life and how I want to spend my time? Or was it driven by sort of habit and just habit of being out in the world all of the time with other people? So as difficult as this year has been and as real as the suffering has been, it also does provide this opportunity because our relationships there's been such an impact on our relationships with other people. Think about my partner and her work. And she said that, you know, she can no longer transact business by running upstairs to someone else's office and in 2 minutes getting a question answered, working through a problem, moving on to the next thing, right? Everything has to be arranged through Zoom calls. Everything is an email that requires a lot of explanation. It's, you know, we can transmit information and communicate at a relational level so much more quickly face to face, but it's not possible and it just requires so much effort. On the other hand, she's getting a lot of work done because she's more of an introvert. And so to not have very much interruption has its upside. So what are you noticing about the way that you are connected to the world around you, other people, larger systems, and how it is that you want to spend your time when things change again? I'm never going to say return to normal because A, normal, absurd concept. B, we're never going to be who we were before, you know, can't step in the same river twice, all that sort of thing. And just find it an unhelpful concept in that it allows people to kind of hold on to something that is just not going to happen. But things will continue to change and evolve. We hope, you know, as soon as when we have the vaccine and it's widely available and it's trustworthy, then we will change again and we will have more we'll have more contact with other people. And so we want to ask ourselves, what do I want to bring into that situation? Do I want to interact with people the way I did before? Do I want to have a greater awareness of all of those ways that I was connected, ways I might have taken for granted, ways that it might have been uncomfortable, ways that might have been wonderful and that I really miss. But how am I going to think about them differently and bring a mindful attitude towards it? Allow myself to really be honest with myself about what do I need? Where am I at my best? When am I at my best with other people? If I allow myself to be in my own integrity about how I spend my time and how I connect to others. So when we come back, we're going to talk about ourselves and seeing ourselves in relationship to the larger world a little bit more clearly. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back. Mindfulness, staying present to the moment without judgment. It sounds simple, but we know on a bad day, it's tough to achieve. So here's a 2-minute drill you can use to enhance your capacity for mindfulness. Find an activity you do every day, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and while you're doing it, focus on nothing else. Not your to-do list, not worries about the past, not rehearsing conversations, just the physical sensation of engaging in that activity. As we enhance our capacity for mindfulness in these ordinary activities, we're better able when the going gets rough to bring that capacity to bear, to be calm and authentic in those moments. If you'd like to learn more about how to enhance mindfulness in your life, contact me at McGuireLifeCoach.com and listen to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, Thursdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
On a tough day, our first impulse is to check out. But here's a better idea. Check in. Check in with yourself in two specific ways. First, check in with your body. Are your hands balled into fists? Is your jaw clenched? Notice any place you feel tension in your body and consciously relax. Then check in with your mind. Are you fully present to the people and activities in your immediate environment? Or is your mind a million miles away, worrying about the future, brooding about the past? If that's the case, gently bring your awareness back to the present moment. When we check in with ourselves, we can create more peace in ourselves and in our world. If you'd like to learn more about incorporating mindfulness practices into your daily life, contact me, Mary Angela McGuire, at McGuireLifeCoach.com. And check out my show, Nothing But Now, Thursdays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. And we're talking today about the year in review and bringing 2020 hindsight to it. And as I recover from cataract surgery and anticipate the second surgery, wow, am I going to see the world clearly next week? And yet, not, right? I'm still going to have blind spots. I'm still going to have places where I am stuck in old stories. I'm still seeing the world through an old story, perhaps. So that's just life. But the mindfulness practices that I promote and encourage and try to live in my own life really do make a difference in allowing myself to see myself more clearly, to see my relationships to others, my connection, my place in the interconnected world a little bit more clearly. And this final point about that is seeing the world as it is rather than as I want it to be. Someone I like to quote is Byron Katie, whose work is, I think, incredibly valuable in thinking about our relationship to how we see the world. And the book is called, you know, her most famous book is called simply Loving What Is, and bringing an attitude of acceptance towards the world, not shaping or influencing what is with our stories, with our fears, with our lack of understanding sometimes, but really trying to see it as it is, warts and all. And of course, I've been thinking about that a lot in relationship to the year in review, because I think for many of us, particularly white Americans, many of us are aware of the kind of blinders that our white privilege has really given us, and some of the ways that we have resisted seeing the world as it really is, as opposed to how we'd like it to be, or maybe I'd say how it is for us. And I have an example that I think is kind of trivial, but I'm going to use it anyway, because a friend of mine used to teach a class in media studies. And at the end, usually about halfway through the semester, a student would say to him, you know, you're ruining television for me. You're ruining media for me. I'll never see things the same way again. Now that I have a kind of critical consciousness about media, the media. And I think that that's true, but I think, you know, even though I've had that kind of class, it takes a while to keep moving through the layers of what we take for granted as okay, as acceptable. I love old movies. I find them increasingly difficult to watch, and I'm not interested in canceling them. I'm not interested in Turner Classic Movie going out of business. In fact, I wish I had Turner Classic Movie on my TV. But I am really aware of how different it feels to watch certain things. And my most recent example was I tried to watch West Side Story. I like movies. I like musicals. I like dancing in musicals. I've always found the dance in West Side Story, I know somebody called it mawkish and over sentimental and icky, but I love it. And so I tried to watch it and I couldn't. It just was very unpleasant and uncomfortable and felt kind of silly watching a movie with white people having their face browned to play Puerto Rican people from Puerto Rico. And especially to have someone like Rita Moreno, who is a Latina, not playing the lead role, even though in terms of skill, etc., right? She had more experience in song and dance than, say, Natalie Wood, who I'm not criticizing, and it was what it was, it's a product of its time, blah 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 blah. But the world has changed, and allowing myself to see and to be uncomfortable with rather than escape into the familiar. That's kind of what I'm talking about in terms of seeing the world more clearly, seeing the world as it is. It may be that movie and so many others may be a product of their era, of course. That doesn't mean that I see it the same way as I would have seen it if I'd been an adult when that film was made and I'd seen it initially as an adult. I'm going to see it through my lens, just as it is a product of its time. A kind of willingness I want to have to be a product of mine. And that means seeing the world as it is. And I think one of the pieces of that that I've often talked about in relationship to something like white privilege is really noticing what I'm taking in, what I'm filling my mind with, right? Am I allowing myself to live in a white bubble? Am I sheltering myself from the reality of other people's lives and of other people's challenges? Am I, and in doing that, am I failing to acknowledge the world as it is, right? You know, we have that phrase about rose-colored glasses. I'm thinking about, wow, what would a rose-colored world look like now that I have distance vision? But it would be interesting, but it wouldn't be reality, would it? And what does it mean to allow ourselves? So one of the things I've done this year, as I'm doing this year in review, is thinking about the strategies. So I can't go to the library anymore face-to-face, and it takes a really long time to order a physical book through the library because, of course, their staffing is different and is reduced, and it's very difficult. They're happy to do it, but I want to give them that kind of business. At the same time, it's very difficult for them and it takes a long time. And I'm a reader, although this week of cataract surgery, I am not reading as miserable. But I can look on my phone. So I got the app where I can borrow ebooks from the library. I'm so grateful for that technology, and not something I would have done if the pandemic hadn't happened. And it gives me a different relationship to browsing. And the library itself, the Tacoma Public Library, in response to the call for greater social justice and racial reconciliation, has done a tremendous job of highlighting writers of color. And so one of the things I've been able to do, and I can see the evidence of it in my list of books I've read, is I can avail myself of that opportunity and gain greater insight into other people's experience. So I have some reading recommendations if you haven't read these books. And I can also see what I typically read, right? Novels by white women. Some recent, some from the past, mystery novels, which are okay. But again, starting to really notice, what am I filling my mind with? How do I feel when I read those kinds of books? Is it uplifting? Is it just kind of the same old rut? Am I in a rut as a reader? So I got out of that rut, and here's some recommendations for you of novels and memoirs by women of color. American Spy by Lauren Wilkinson. I have never read I've read many spy novels. I have never read a spy novel told from the point of view of an African-American woman. It was a first for me. It was well done. It's a very interesting story. And it's not only an interesting story in the sense of that she is Black is not the most interesting thing, except that her experience, her identity, gives her a worldview on events that are familiar to us. It's told in about sort of semi-real events. From that, to see those events from that, from her perspective, that was a revelation. And so it's a classic spy novel in lots of ways, but really well done. Memorial Drive by Natasha Trethewey is a beautiful memoir. And I don't even particularly like memoirs, but she is a beautiful writer, and it was excellent. The Vanishing Half, which I've mentioned before, by Britt Bennett, about identical twins, one of whom passes as white. Really powerful novel. Your House Will Pay by Steph Chaw is a really good read. Trust Exercise by Susan Choi, and Red at the Bone by Jacqueline Woodson. Right? They're not all deep novels, but I don't know. They're all beautifully written, I would say. So it's not about I'm going to sit and read these books and I'm going to educate myself, right? I'm a reader. I love to read. I love to sink into somebody else's world. Why not do that in a way that takes me into a world that is less familiar, that allows me to see a point of view that is less common in my experience, that allows me to see common events from a different perspective, things that I think I already know something about, really recast by hearing someone else tell that story from their perspective. It's really about not looking away, right? Not refusing to see what's right in front of me, but allowing myself to feel my discomfort, my fear, and my uncertainty. And when I look back over 2020, to the extent that I can see it clearly, I can see all of those places of discomfort and fear and uncertainty. And yet, the reality is, as I stand here, and I know this is true for many of you, I'm okay, right? I had discomfort, fear, anxiety, and I'm okay. And that is part of seeing the world for as it is, as opposed to how we would like it to be. Sometimes we are so afraid of feeling fear, anxiety, discomfort, that we'll do anything to avoid it, to push it away, and to, in some ways, fail to show ourselves, to acknowledge to ourselves that we're okay, despite those experiences. So When we come back, we're going to talk about some ways to think about the future, right? As we look ahead to the new year, you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. Mindfulness, staying present to the moment without judgment. It sounds simple, but we know on a bad day, it's tough to achieve. So here's a 2-minute drill you can use to enhance your capacity for mindfulness. Find an activity you do every day, like washing the dishes or brushing your teeth, and while you're doing it, focus on nothing else. Not your to-do list, not worries about the past, not rehearsing conversations, just the physical sensation of engaging in that activity. As we enhance our capacity for mindfulness in these ordinary activities, we're better able when the going gets rough to bring that capacity to bear, to be calm and authentic in those moments. If you'd like to learn more about how to enhance mindfulness in your life, contact me at McGuireLifeCoach.com and listen to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, Thursdays at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern.
So how do you value your self-worth? Join Dr. Pat and Sabrina Wright as they introduce Sabrina's holistic approach to self-care and inner peace. Get empowered to make decisions for yourself. Change your view of your own value and learn the tools for investing in who you're designed to be. Live the good life every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on The Dr. Pat Show featuring Sabrina Wright. To learn more, visit sabrinaiswright.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm the host of Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. I share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me in each show where we challenge ourselves to change together. Please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and today we're talking about insight and reflecting on 2020 with a certain kind of 2020 hindsight. How is it that we can see the year in review a little more clearly than maybe we saw it while we were living through it, but also about encouraging mindfulness practices going forward so that in the midst of our daily life, we can see the world and our workplace in the world and our own habits of mind with clarity. I've been thinking about this a lot as my own vision is changing very dramatically in these next 2 weeks, and it's been very exciting. I'm very grateful for it, but it's really pushed me to think about how I see the world. So we've been talking about the past, you know, sort of doing a review of the past year to notice both the good and the bad and the in-between, to notice what you've brought to situations and places where you've struggled, to notice the incredible interconnectedness of our world and all of the challenging things that have happened that have revealed that interconnectedness in ways that we did not notice, maybe took for granted if we knew about them. And then finally, noticing our place in the larger world, noticing the world as it is, rather than as we would like it to be, in order to be more honest with ourselves, to be able to be more present, I think, to others, and to challenge ourselves to live through our discomfort, our uncertainty, our fear, and notice that we're still whole and come out the other side. So we've also, I suggested in this segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the future. So we want to be able to see the past clearly so that in the present, we can have integrity in our responses to ourselves and others. But what would it mean then to think about the future without doing that thing, that kind of mindless habit many of us have? I know I do, of what they call future tripping, right? It's fearful about the future, anxiety about the future, or escaping into pleasant dreams about what the future might hold. This time of year, people tend to talk about resolutions for the new year. I'm going to suggest a different word. I'm going to suggest we think about permission for the new year. So permissions that we might give ourselves going forward, and all of which are connected to bringing greater mindfulness into our daily lives. So permission to see the whole picture, right? And to notice both the good, the bad, and the neutral that happen in our everyday lives. To notice if we have a habit of only focusing on one of those things, but giving ourselves permission to see the whole picture, including the stories, the preconceptions, the expectations that we might be bringing to situations in our daily life, and how those things, our stories, preconceptions, expectations, are shaping our daily life, not always in ways that are helpful to us. And can we let go of those? In fact, can we give ourselves permission to let go of those? Permission to see that we are part of the larger whole, and to notice the places where that's true, even those places where it's uncomfortable. And permission to see where I am uncomfortable, fearful, and uncertain, right? And overall, that's permission to feel my feelings, permission to slow down and feel my feelings, and then permission to offer compassion towards myself and others as I work through those feelings. It's only natural, the Dalai Lama says, that we don't like suffering. But if we develop the willpower to bear difficulties, then we will grow more and more tolerant. There is nothing that does not get easier with practice. I mentioned that quote 2 weeks ago on the show, and I really like it a lot. I think it's very, of course, it's the Dalai Lama. My goodness, of course, it's incredibly insightful. And I talked about it last time or 2 weeks ago because I think the idea that there's nothing that does not get easier with practice is incredibly important. As I think about my client who said, mindfulness, it's so ambitious, but practice can be small. Practice can be daily life. Practice can be narrowing it to those places where it's low risk strategies to try to gain the capacity to be more comfortable with ourselves, to notice where our mind goes, to create some space between those habits of mind and what's happening in front of us so that we can be more responsive rather than reactive. But you know, there's a word in that quote that kind of bothers me too, and that's willpower. I think because for me growing up, that notion of willpower always meant kind of, you know, tensing up, fists up, struggling, pushing, right? All that tension. I can't even really do it because I don't want to make my eye uncomfortable. But willpower has never seemed like my friend. It's always been something that I felt was a deficit, and I didn't have enough of it to power through, to get something done, to achieve something I thought I was supposed to achieve, to want something I thought I was supposed to want. And so I have been kind of uncomfortable with the quote for that reason. And so I want to think about it a little bit, and I'm certainly not correcting His Holiness the Dalai Lama when I say that if we can develop the willpower to bear difficulties, if we can develop maybe willpower or willingness, right? The acceptance that difficulties are inevitable, that it's when we bring tremendous fear, anxiety, frustration, our stories, our expectations, our preconceptions, that we make what is inevitable far worse. Some people would talk about this as also trying to relax into the present moment, right? So that mindfulness is not something I kind of gird my loins and bunch my fists up and tense up and say, I'm getting ready to be mindful. because that doesn't work very well, but to relax and to relax and to allow ourselves to grow more and more tolerant, because there is nothing that does not get easier with practice. And you know, giving ourselves the grace to understand that every day that we may be able to bring a mindfulness practice to bear, that's a wonderful thing. And there will be days when we fail. There will be days when it's too much and it's too difficult and we'll retreat. And to have a sense of loving kindness towards ourselves, knowing that that will happen, is also part of mindfulness practice. So these are the kind of things that I talk about with clients all the time. And if you'd like to learn more about my work as a life and communication coach, I hope you would contact me. My website is maguirelifecoach.com, Maguire, M-A-G-U-I-R-E, lifecoach.com. Or you can always email me at maryangelamaguire@gmail.com. That first conversation is complimentary to you, and we will talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching. I'll describe this inquiry method that I use with clients. My job is to ask questions, to listen carefully, and to help you through listening to find your own path. I don't know your path, but you do. And I can help you find it by listening to you talk about your concerns and your goals and dreams. And we'll have a short session in that first conversation so that you can determine if working with me is going to help you move forward in your life. So maryangelamaguire@gmail.com or Maguire Life Coach, and we'll find a time to talk. I hope you'll join me next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern. And my topic is, or the question for the show is, whose journey is this? So we talk about mindfulness as a journey that we are taking together or that we're taking in our lives. And one of the things I've noticed in my own experience and as I've worked with clients on their mindfulness journey is that we reach a point where we start to wonder about other people in our life, right? So on our mindfulness journey, we experience so many moments that are challenging, and they challenge our capacity to remain mindful, that things that cause stress, things that cause uncertainty, and we kind of let it go out the window, our capacity to be present to the moment, and we get right back into those stories of the past, stories that are holding us back. So but another particular place that this happens is in our closest relationships. There is a tendency, I think, as we're moving forward in our mindfulness journey, to start to worry about what impact that will have, our sort of expanded consciousness, on our relationships. In other words, if my partner's not on the mindfulness journey too, isn't that a problem? So that's what we're going to talk about, because it's a common challenge, and it's a very worthwhile conversation. So I hope you'll join me, and we'll talk about whose journey is it. Of course, it's your journey. We're all on our individual journey, but let's talk about some strategies for what to do when that concern starts to raise its head. So in the meantime, as I say, I hope you will join me next week, and the space in between. Maybe take some time to do a little inventory on what your year has been like, giving yourself credit, noticing everything that's happening, seeing your place in the world, and also being kind to yourself, bringing compassion to yourself and to others throughout your day. Take care. This is Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll hope to see you next week. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Maryangela Maguire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, maguirelifecoach.com. That's maguirelifecoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.